Armando. Thankful for your wife. Oh, how nice. 28. How great thou art. What number is that? Do you have it? 353. And we'll close out with that song as far as our favorites. It's a good one. I think that's the Baptist anthem, isn't it? Should we stand? I think we should stand. How could you sit and sing this song? 353, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you. come, please,
for our evening offering tonight. And tonight, instead of the piano or one of the instruments playing for our offertory, we're going to watch a video for Operation Christmas Child, just to keep that in front of us, keep us reminded of the need, the ministry opportunity that we have through this year-long project that we do. Tim, would you lead us in prayer, please?
My name is Alex. I was born and raised in the country of Rwanda. As a little boy, I was raised by my grandmother, who loves me very much. During that time, Rwanda was going through a lot of war, and my grandmother and my uncle, the two people who were left to take care of me, were both killed during this war. Through miracles happening during this war, God protecting me, I was put in an orphanage. And while I was in this orphanage, Operation Christmas Child wanted to do something for the few of the orphans who were left in this by this war. And I remember how excited I was when Operation Christmas Child pulled in and they handed out these gifts, and the joy that each and every one of us had in that orphanage. That gift for me personally planted seeds of hope and love that a year later, while I was traveling with the African Children's Choir, I saw those seeds grow. And I started to have a hunger to know the Lord. And about that time, that's when I gave my life to Christ and realizing that God had a plan for my life. And then God provided me with a family. In 2013, I was given a great opportunity to travel back to my orphanage to hand out shoeboxes. It was such a blessing to stand in the same place that I stood as a seven-year-old, and this time to hand out a shoebox and just to see the joy on the kids' faces. And it was such a great moment for me. I want to thank each and every person who packs a gift. Specifically, I would say in my own language, Mulokoze Chane. Each and every time you pack that gift is a moment to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when you pack that gift, it reminds the child that they are not forgotten, that they are loved, that someone thinks about them. Not just someone, but their Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Please keep packing them, but also thank you for what you've done so far.
I thought I was done. 5:14. All right, let's sing another song. Why not? Five one three. 5:13. We got it right. Make this your prayer for this afternoon. Speak, O Lord.
Speak, O Lord, as we call. Thank you.
Pastor Taylor. Thank you, all of you, for being a part of that tonight. I asked a question this morning, as far as, have you ever thought about how to go to church? Have you been thinking about that a little bit since then? Maybe distracted with the food in between there and the great preaching this morning. How to go to church? I'm guessing most of us have never put much thought into that before. How to go to church? Well, certainly we've got to be dressed a certain way. Some people may think that. We drive a certain way to church, maybe certain route, certain speed limit. Yeah. How to go to church? Or as the title says there, how to walk into church even? When'd you get there? You know, you're fighting on the way there. Certainly when the door opens in the parking lot, the smile comes on, right? Yes. How do we walk into church? The idea there is how to prepare ourselves to go to church. And I want to give you some things that are very simplistic, some things that I've been dwelling on and meditating on the last couple of weeks. And as far as just church it's in general, those of us that were on the missions team, we got to experience church in another culture for the last 2 weeks. And not just two Sundays and a couple of Wednesdays, but I mean, there was nine different times that I spoke in that 2 weeks. And so we got to experience worshiping with these believers a lot over the last 2 weeks. And I think every one of them would say it was different. It was different. And I just want to preface this by saying, I'm not saying one's better than the other, but there was such a stark difference. It really made me think about, why is it so different? Why is it so different? And I don't know if they do these things that I'm going to give you tonight, just some practical things or not. But I think there are some things here that we could do to prepare ourselves to go to church. And it goes way beyond making sure our hair is washed and our clothes are clean. Okay. It is much more internal, spiritual. For example, let me just give you the first one. The first one is so simple. Go. Go to church. Just go. It's a matter of us, before church comes, before Sunday comes, deciding we're going to church. Now, when I grew up in my home, my parents were saved in their mid-20s, I think it was. Mid-20s, late-20s is when they had accepted Christ through a man, a neighbor across the street that started taking my sisters to church, to Sunday school. It was a bus route, basically. And my parents accepted Christ. And then when they accepted Christ, we never asked, are we going to church today? Because my parents had decided we're going to church. And there was one exception. Anytime that our relatives came up from Detroit to visit us, we didn't go to church. And that's when they didn't go to church. So that's when they would come to visit us. But other than that, there was never a question, are we going to church? Dad decided, we're here, we're going to church. Done. End of discussion. We have to decide, I am going to church. It sounds so simple, but yet a lot of people struggle with that, don't they? We wake up Sunday morning. I don't know if I'm going to go today or not. And they make the decision Sunday morning. It's based on how they feel, maybe. Have we done that sometimes? We make the decision sometimes based on, maybe based on the weather. I mean, well, if there's no electricity, by the way, the lights flickered some here this morning when my wife and I were getting things ready for the dinner. And I thought, oh, no, the phone's going to start ringing. Are we having church today? And Pastor Taylor, you know, made a good point about their church and the missionaries. They would still have church. There's some validity to that as well. That doesn't mean we're never going to cancel church again. Everyone maybe sometimes just needs to make their decision. Like if the roads are bad, you know, use the wisdom that God gave you. And if you can't handle driving on snow, then don't come to church. But don't go to Walmart either. Right? I know. We've canceled church before on Sunday morning, and my wife and I would go out for lunch or something like that, and I'd see your cars at the restaurants, folks. We have to just decide we are going to church, okay? I don't think we need to belabor that one. But here's one here that I want to spend a little bit of time on. And that is pray. So as you're getting ready for church, number two, you need to pray before you get to church. What would you pray for? I know Sunday mornings, before we have before our church Sunday school time starts, there's some men that get together and pray in the conference room. And it's in the bulletin. It's open for everyone. And there's always three or four men. We get together and we just pray for the service. And we pray for different things. I think we should all do that. The room's not big enough. Pray at home. What would you pray for to get ready for church? Well, how about this one? Pray that God would gather those that are wavering about going to church. Now, it's not you because you've already done number one. You've decided, I'm going to church. And now before I get to church, I'm going to spend some time in prayer to God that He would work in the hearts of those that right that moment are wavering about whether they're going to go to church or not. Even Sunday night, are we going to go to church tonight or not? Well, do we have games? Do we have this distraction? Do we have that? Whatever it is. Pray for those that are wavering. Here's another thing to pray for. Ask God or pray that God would speak to you through the preaching. Well, we need to do that, don't we? We need to do that. That God would speak to me through the preaching. Have you sat through a church service before, walked, left, went home and got nothing out of it? Have you? Go ahead. Be honest. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Okay? Just Larry. We've done that. I've done that with my own preaching sometimes. We sit, not at this church, we'll sit through and we won't get anything out of it and we go home. Whose fault is that? We have someone that says ours. Some of you others whispered that. Some people say it's the pastor. Wait a minute. Those that I've heard say it's the pastor are those that have gotten mad and left a church and they say, well, we just weren't being fed. And my first thought is, was he preaching from God's word? God's food was being given. Why weren't you being fed? Maybe we need to pray that God would speak to me through the preaching. Here's another thing. Pray that God would speak through me to others. We're going to talk about that more here in just a minute. Wait a minute. God speaks through the preaching and through the teaching, the Sunday school class, but this one seems kind of strange, doesn't it? That God would speak through me to others? Try praying that, okay? And this is all going to fit together here in just a moment. The next one. Pray that God would work in the hearts of everyone that attends. That's important. Everyone. Because every Sunday this room is full of people. Some that are very spiritually in tune with God that day. Others, you wonder why they're even here. And then sometimes those that are spiritually in tune with God today, next week they aren't because they had a bad week or something. And God gathered His body here for a reason. To hear the Word of God, one. So pray that God would work in the hearts of everyone that attends. Here's another prayer request. Sunday morning, as we're preparing to walk into church, pray that God would give me an opportunity to connect with someone that I have been praying about. Wow. Leave that one up there, if you would, for just a while. I'm going to pray that God would give me an opportunity. When I get to church, God, give me an opportunity to connect. Means interact with somebody that I've been praying about. Well, there's some things that got to happen before that, right? Can you see what it is? We have to be praying for someone. I wasn't here last Sunday. I didn't hear the message, but based on what Pastor Taylor said this morning, about having someone to influence you and you influencing someone else, someone you're praying for, get someone. Pray for them throughout the week. Pray for several. And then before you come to church, pray that God would give me the opportunity to connect with that person that I've been praying for. Why is that important? God wants to use you to affect that person. He doesn't want to use me for everybody. I can't. He wants to use you to affect that person in a spiritual way. So pray that God would give you that opportunity. Now, let's go ahead and flip through all of those prayer requests again. Number one, pray that God would gather those that are wavering. Pray that God would speak to you through the preaching. Pray that God would speak through me to the preaching. Pray that God would work in the hearts of everyone that attends. Pray that God would give me an opportunity to connect with someone that I've been praying about. Do you notice what's not there? All the things that distract us about church. Let me give you a whole list of distractions. And I'm not saying they're good or bad. The only reason they're in this list is they do distract us. Is it too hot? Is it too cold? Are the fans blowing too much? Okay, that's just a quick run through this room here. Okay. Is this person here? That person's not here again. There was something on the carpet. Oh, would you look at those stains on the carpet? This dirty carpet is a sign of people being here. I'm okay with that. We need to get them cleaned, okay? There's stains on the carpet. I don't like the color of the wall. I've heard this one. Pastor's hairstyle. Seriously. His suit. Ooh, that looks like a new suit. Been paying him too much. The classes. I didn't like my teacher. I didn't like what was being talked about before class, after class. The parking lot. The looks of the parking lot. The looks of the lobby. This, that. The words on the screen were too small. The microphone wasn't loud enough. And we have all of these things that are running through our mind when we come to church. And they are all distractions. You look at those prayer requests that I just gave you. I hope you wrote them down. None of them are focused on all of this stuff. In the churches that we served in the last 2 weeks, concrete floor, concrete walls, their pews. Oh, you would have loved their pews. Oh, man. The white plastic chairs that you would buy at Family Dollar Store. And they thought those were treasures. And the worship was amazing. Now I realize it's a different culture, okay. But there was something so amazingly different. And one of the things that I thought of at nights after my roommates, who shall remain nameless, went to sleep, and I was able to tune out the snoring. And I would just lay there thinking and praying and writing some things here. And we are so distracted with things in this country, in this culture. I'm not saying they're good or bad. They are just that. They are distractions. And we come into church with all these other things on our minds. What's going on after church? And I got to do this and I got to do that. And we miss those prayer requests. The reason for us being here. It's for us to meet with God. Preparing to go to church. Just praying those things. And that when we get here, that God would use us. Now that last one, praying that God would give me an opportunity to connect with someone that I've been praying about. That's an interesting one. There's nothing in that list about any of those distractions. Okay? Let's move on now from that last prayer request to number three. After we go, we pray. Now we're going to think. All right. So I want you to remember this next Sunday. Decide you're going to go. Pray. I've given you some ideas of things to pray for. Okay. And it's not anything to do with myself. pray that someone will be nice to me, pray that this person will blah, 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 whatever. It's not about me. It's about others and God. And then number three, think. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. It says there, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Have you heard that verse before? Absolutely. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I think that's the very next verse. Hebrews 10:25. And those passages right there. I have preached them this way and I have always read them this way. That's why you should go to church. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. But verse 24, if we could have that back up there again. I've missed it all these years. And it has so much to do with how to go to church. Let us consider one another. Verse 24, that person hasn't gotten to church yet. They're not in church. They're just saying, before we get to the assembly of ourselves together, let us consider one another. Now, that word consider, what's another way we could put that? Think, right? If you're considering which, because I'm 50 and I'm now getting things from AARP, okay? If you're considering which Medicare supplement plan to go with, what are you doing? You're thinking about it, right? If you're considering what brand of coffee to buy, you're thinking about it. If you're considering what to wear Sunday morning, you're looking in your closet, and the guys are looking at the closet saying, oh, what's clean? You know, and the ladies are looking in their closet. Oh, I have nothing to wear, you know, and it's full of clothes, right? But what are you doing? You're thinking. You are intentionally, catch that word, intentionally thinking about one another. How are you thinking about them? Sometimes we're thinking about one another this way, okay? Oh man, they get so much on my nerves. They have been so mean to me. Everyone. They never talk to me. No one ever shakes my hand. You're coming to church for the wrong reason, if I could just throw that in there. You're thinking, but you're thinking the wrong things. That verse tells us what to think. How to provoke them to love and good works. It's not the pastor's job. It's everyone in the church. Before we get to church, before we come to a service, we have intentionally thought about, okay, God, how can I help someone get closer to you? Remember, I think it was the third prayer request. God, speak through me to someone's heart. That's part of that prayer request right there. Intentionally think, okay, I'm going into church this morning and I'm going to say this or do this to this person that I've been praying for just to encourage them unto love and good works. That's being intentional. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That passage, that entire chapter there, Paul is dealing with speaking in tongues. And the problem that they were having in that church. That passage there, it gets preached as a standard bearer for what God teaches about tongues. Okay? Tongues are dead. They weren't important in the New Testament. And they're nowhere near as important today because God said they're going to end. Okay? But in that passage, we've missed some other teachings there. Some other little grains of truth. Paul is giving them instructions about tongues. And what we miss, because we're focusing on the teaching, is verses 1 through 25. He's giving all this teaching on tongues, but look at what he says in verse 26. He said, how is it then, brethren, after he's done all this teaching? Here's the way it should be. He says, how is it then? When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now, if we took the time, and we won't because it's afternoon and we've got full stomachs. If we took the time to look through that chapter, they were all coming in. Everyone was speaking in tongues. It no doubt looked like some churches today that believe in that. It was chaotic. Paul even said, People come in here, unbelievers, they think you're mad. Barbarians is the word that Paul used, that God used to describe that scene. Paul said this, I would rather speak five words that everyone knows what I'm saying than to speak in tongues. I would rather you prophesy, preach the word, rather than speaking in this unknown tongue. All of that confusion taking place. And then he comes to verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation? That's right at the end. What did we miss there? Did you see it? They were all coming to church ready to share something. They had done Hebrews 10:24 at home. They had considered, they thought about how they could provoke someone to love and good works. And they were all coming in and they were all doing it wrong. But they all came to church ready to speak truth to someone, to encourage someone. Rather than, this is the way I grew up too, okay? Rather than we come to church, we sit down and we open our mouths like a bird and just wait to be fed. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was not that church be this place for everyone who puts money in the offering plate to come into and be fed by the man that they pay to feed him. God's plan for the church was we live in a vile and a corrupt world. There's sin all around us. And we need a place of refuge where we can go and be re-energized. And be re-encouraged by collectively focused on and worshiping God. And where brothers and sisters in Christ would just think nothing of giving you a hug and encouraging you. And thank you for being there. But the way that works is we all come in here focused on and intent on doing that. Yeah, I've said this before. And I probably said it more in sarcasm before, ha ha ha, funny, but it fits so much right now. If anyone ever says, I came into that church and no one shook my hand, shame on you for not shaking someone's hand. Because you're a believer and God says you are supposed to come in here to provoke other people unto love and good works. That's how we get ready for church. We haven't even gone in the doors yet. That's coming. Not tonight, but I've got some more to share about that once we walk through the doors. We're just getting ready to go to church now. Say, Pastor, I don't know what I'd share with anybody. If you don't, let me say this very lovingly. Please see me about that. No sarcasm, no humor at all. Because I would like to help you during the week spend time in God's Word so you would have something to share. If we could have verse 26 back up there again. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, there's a truth, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Here's this verse I read, Tim. Here's what I got out of it this week. It was so cool the way God just took this verse and put it right into this instance, this circumstance that happened to me Thursday afternoon. It was amazing. That's what they were doing. They were doing it all wrong. They weren't doing it decently and in order, but they came to church ready to do that. They came ready. Now, can I just say this? Most churches today have the opposite of the Corinthian problem. The Corinthian problem was they were all coming in and doing it all at the same time, and it was chaotic. It was most churches today don't have that problem. We don't have this unruly profusion of too many people trying to share their words for the sake of the church. But what we have, what most churches have today, is an entire absence of anyone, except the preacher, having something edifying to share for the building up of God's people. Can you not see how this would change our church? If we were that intentional about obeying God's word, Hebrews 10:24, spending some time getting ready to go to church, spending the time the week before to be ready to give something to someone, intentionally focused on three people. Okay, God, here's three people. Work it out so that I cross paths with them and you give us an opportunity to talk. God, you give me that opportunity and I'm going to do it. Be intentional about it. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word and the simplicity of it. And for your church, Lord, this family. We need this family. Each of us. We need each other. Each other needs us. Help us to focus on that need, Lord, of how people need us to intentionally reach out and connect with them. God, I pray that we would be intentional about preparing ourselves for worship, for church, asking you to intervene in people's lives, our own lives first, and then other people's lives through the preaching, other people's lives through our own life, and being ready to build people up with your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's